The recent rain only provides a breather before we reach the heart of fire season. We know some big fire will hit somewhere in the region this year, just as we've had major fires in the last several years. People involved with public safety and emergency planning have learned some hard lessons about what does and does not work in evacuation situations. We've invited several to join us to talk about the current thinking on getting people, often lots of people, out of harm's way when fires and other disasters strike. Craig Whitner is fire marshal in the city of Redding. Craig, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wayne Stinson is with us as well, emergency manager at the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. Hello, Wayne.
How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. Chad Carter is with us. He's a regional communications director for the American Red Cross. Hi, Chad.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Craig, why don't we start with you, because you've certainly had quite a year in the last 12 months, and just describe experiences with large-scale emergencies and things that have, some hard lessons that have been learned about evacuations.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a word we've all heard throughout our lives, and that's called complacency. So Redding, California is situated in an area that experiences fires every single year. We go year from year, we get used to having fires and used to the big red fire engine showing up and taking care of business. And the old adage, you know, bad things only happen to somebody else. You know, this past year, 2018, we experienced the Carr Fire, which was almost 230,000 acres, so it was one of our largest fires. We've experienced other fires in the past, but this one was obviously a much larger scope and scale and affected a tremendous amount of people. So when I say the word complacency, we're not strangers to fire. We're used to it. And most years, we experience a lot of fire, and again, emergency personnel show up and take care of business with minimal risk. And so we experience, with one thing, you know, complacency, we get used to it, and we think that the good guy is going to come and we're going to be safe. Many folks weren't during the Carr Fire and, of course, the Camp Fire in Paradise. So bad things do happen, and we need to realize that as human beings we are complacent, and we really need to take action. We need to be informed. We need to plan ahead and take action when it matters. So we try to convince our folks that, bad things happen to good people, and you do need to be ready, that the good guys, you know, don't always have the opportunity to show up and save you in time. You have to be reliant and save yourself sometimes.
And is a lot of that, you think about planning for evacuation, would that be the major thing you'd recommend?
Yeah, plan ahead. Be informed and plan ahead, and don't wait for local authorities to tell you when to evacuate. Evacuate early. One thing we experienced during Carr Fire is our major event, when the wind changed, we had a large scale wind event and a large fire going on at the same time, and when it pushed into the city from the west, it pushed and moved so quickly that it overwhelmed a lot of us, and then certainly overwhelmed and surprised the residents that have lived here, you know, most of our lives, or certainly 20, 30 years. So we were working on an evacuation plan, and we found that the majority of our residents waited to the last minute to evacuate. And, of course, that jammed up our evacuation routes and our roadways and made it difficult, number one, for people to get out, but equally as difficult for emergency personnel to get into the areas in order to do their work. So don't wait for local authorities to tell you to get out. Plan ahead, prepare, and leave early. Have a plan.
All right, we'll pick that up in further detail later on. Wayne Stinson, I want to bring you in here now because you're another one of those local officials, and talk about some of the experiences you've had with trying to get people out of the way of emergencies.
Well, in Southwest Oregon, it, just like Chad was saying, wildfire is a normal event every year, and that's unfortunate, but that's our new reality that we have to live with. And the message to citizens is exactly echoed. Be prepared. We talk about evacuation levels, you know, 1, 2, and 3, ready, set, go. As soon as we get into fire season, people should already be at the ready level, which means they've already looked at their to-go kit. They know what they need to grab, and be ready for that environment. If you're living in a rural area, and anymore, it's in any area that's got potential wildfire, that urban interface, so to speak, people need to be really really aware of their environment and get those preparedness things up to speed right away. Especially, you know, as he said, you know, you can always evacuate early, And that's even more important if you're got medical conditions that you need to, that may take extra time, or maybe large animals or pets, or you know, other considerations in your family. Definitely be thinking about evacuating early and where you may potentially want to go. If we do evacuate an area, then obviously we work with the Red Cross to set up a shelter. But in some cases, in most cases, people elect to go to friends or relatives, or you know, even outside the area. So, you know, we just keep hammering on the preparedness side of things, and the citizens need to really be aware and step up their preparedness.
Chad Carter at the American Red Cross, how often over the course of, say, a fire season will the Red Cross set up emergency shelters for people who have needed to get out of the way of generally wildfires?
Yeah, it fluctuates from year to year depending on the severity of the fire season and the location of the fires. If a fire is in a more heavily populated area, the likelihood of us opening a shelter, as Wayne mentioned, certainly increases, and we have the capacity to be able to open shelters throughout the state simultaneously, thanks to the incredible work of our volunteers who are all around the state and can help out. But each year, it definitely fluctuates a little bit, but that allows us really to be able to respond exactly where the need is, and to be able to work with our agency partners throughout the region to say, okay, where can we support you? What do you need? Once we get the word, we can activate an emergency shelter quite quickly because of our volunteers and where they are throughout the state. So it will hopefully this year not be of active sheltering season, but we are all prepared for it. And as Craig said earlier, it's just a way of life now. And so we're prepared as we head into the season.
Okay, American Red Cross, Douglas County Sheriff's Office, City of Reading represented in this discussion. You can join it on the Jefferson Exchange when we return in a minute five. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We are talking about emergencies, when they occur, what we do. And the fact is that it sounds like a lot of us are waiting for somebody else to tell us what to do. We are hearing from people involved in public safety who are recommending that we make our plans a bit earlier, have an idea of where we're going to go, what we're going to do, what we're going to bring. Our guests are Chad Carter, who's Regional Communications Director for the American Red Cross. Wayne Stinson is the Emergency Manager for the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and Craig Whitner is Fire Marshal for the City of Reading. You can join the conversation on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Chad Carter, Red Cross, I want to come back to you because we mentioned that it fluctuates, but you're going to set up a number of shelters over the course of any year, and I wonder if there's a most common thing that people say upon arriving at the shelter, I wish I had blank, and what the blank would be.
Prepared a little bit more often, because they might be showing up without all of the things that they wish they had at that moment in time. And so that's why it really is important to prepare ahead of time. And it can feel a little overwhelming, understandably so, to try and put together this kit of what I might need and what my family might need at a moment's notice. But it doesn't have to be, and it doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be time-consuming, but just thoughtful. What are the immediate needs I'm going to need for about 72 hours? So if I ended up in an evacuation shelter, I have some of those comforts from home. If you have small children, what are you going to need for them? Toys, things to keep them occupied, clothing for them, diapers, those kinds of things. Important documents, medical prescriptions, information that you may need. Really, it's just setting a few things aside now into that go bag so that when the time comes, you can grab it and you can go. But it's also three simple kind of bullet points that you can remember about talking about a plan, putting together your plan, and practicing your plan. You know, when you talk about it, talk with immediate family members, extended family members. What are you going to do? How do you want to put this together? Because you need buy-in from everybody so that you know once the moment hits, everybody knows what they're going to do. You put together that plan, whether you're going to have a meeting space, locally near your home or maybe a little bit further away? Where is everybody going to meet? Do you have an out-of-state contact person that you can reach and let people know that you're okay? And then practicing it. Building a plan is great, but if you don't practice it, it might not stick when the time comes. And so even if it's just once a month or, you know, once a summer, at the beginning of the summer, practice that plan, know what everybody's going to do so that when the time comes, it's muscle memory and you're not trying to think about it in the moment.
Wayne Stinson of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, how much outreach do you do in terms of trying to get people to think about emergencies before emergencies happen? Is this sort of like trying to get people to think about Christmas in July?
Yeah, that's a good analogy. You know, it's continual. We just had, we went from having a severe snowstorm that we had people without power for, 3 to 4 weeks. Now we're looking at, we're going into fire season. So the messaging is consistent throughout the year, whether it be preparing for, a winter storm or as we are now preparing for the wildfire season. Our stakeholders of fire departments, Red Cross, public health, wildland fire agencies, all are pushing out the same message of be prepared, get your list done, create defensible space around your home. All these things is a constant message that we're putting out. So, it's unfortunate that the citizens, I think they hear it, but, as Chad mentioned earlier, everybody thinks it's not going to happen to them.
You had mentioned earlier about people being concerned about their animals, and I wonder about how good shelters are taking those in, or how good emergency organizations are setting up places for animals to go. And I know in some cases we've delivered evacuation information from here about the fact you can take your large animals to this place, you can take your pets to this place. But do you get into situations sometimes where shelters are set up and people are kind of at odds and ends about trying to figure out what to do with their animals?
Yes. People won't evacuate unless they can take their pets, generally. So it's a planning consideration that we have to deal with and work with our Red Cross partners. If a shelter's set up and we're getting a situation where a number of them are bringing pets, then we have to work with them to be able to accommodate those pets either adjacent to or someplace close to where the shelter is actually set up. Farm animals are another story. That takes a little bit more planning and effort and coordination to get those. It's one thing to be able to grab your dog and cat. It's another thing to load up livestock and move them out of an area.
We're talking about evacuations and emergency planning with Wayne Stinson, emergency manager at the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Chad Carter, regional communications director of the American Red Cross based in Portland, Craig Whitner, fire marshal for the city of Reading, with obviously clear experience in the last year of trying to do a major evacuation. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Your questions and comments are welcome on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Craig Whitner, I want to come back to you. The concept of evacuating early. This is a good place to talk about not just what people should have with them, but what they should be looking for in terms of conditions that would convince them it's time to go.
So, again, every year we experience fires. I think unless you were out of town during the car event, everybody experienced a significant weather change, and something that is echoed from person to person since was the feeling of unease and something different. We all experience as humans different weather conditions, but people right now are focused on it because we just experienced the event less than a year ago. We're coming up on the year anniversary in July. So we have about a 3-year window to get folks to continue to pay attention, and beyond that, it's in somebody's past memory. So As the gentleman mentioned earlier, you know, the information has been out there forever. It's a little bit more concise and consistent nowadays. I think most agencies are putting out the really good information. Anybody who's got internet access at the tip of their fingers is all the information we want folks to learn and prepare for. So essentially, educate themselves, take action. If you have animals, know where the shelters are. The gentleman mentioned it earlier. Have a plan out of town where you can go to a family member. If the family members are split up, make sure their cell phones are appropriately charged. Have a go bag in the vehicle with at least 3 days of supplies. There's the what we call the six P's, people and pets, papers, phone numbers, important documents, prescriptions, vitamins and eyeglasses, pictures, irreplaceable memorabilia, personal computer hard drives and disks, and plastic for ATM cards, credit cards, and cash, and the things that are important to them. If I have livestock, then I should probably know ahead of time where I need to take my animals in case of an emergency event. And, of course, wildfire is the topic right now, but it could be an earthquake, could be a flood, could be a large-scale power outage. I remember when my kids were young, because I do what I do for a living, my kids always knew where to go and who to contact in the case the family ever got split up and something bad happened. Folks need to prepare and actually take action. Again, not wait for local authorities to take care of them. People need to be reliant and responsible for themselves.
Do you find, even after all that's been said and all the incidents we've had, that people still don't quite know when the moment is to go? I remember talking to some people in Gold Beach who were in town when there was a tsunami warning. And even though they heard the sirens, they thought, well, the guy didn't come around the street with the truck that says, get out of your house now.
Well, I think that some people, you know, at least local, realize that they're probably going to take action a little bit sooner. And that's what I said earlier, the term complacency. I don't know how to combat complacency other than to be consistent and really try hard to educate folks with a consistent message. You know, our state agencies, local agencies, we're pushing the same information. We direct folks to some of our best website information out there, readyforwildfire.gov. It's got a tremendous amount of information on there. It's put together by Cal Fire, and that covers most of the bases, not just for wildfire, but several links on the other stuff too, earthquakes, floods, power outages, etc. But in that regard, I would tell folks over and over again, don't wait and rely on local authorities to tell you when to go. If you know when something's not right, there's nothing wrong with it. It may be a little bit inconvenient, but it may end up saving your life. Don't wait on authorities. Evacuate early, have a plan, know where to go, practice your escape routes. If you know that a particular road is going to be busy at a particular time, or if other folks are evacuating, have a second plan of action, have a plan B, have another escape route so you can get to where you need to be early. Don't wait on other people to tell you when and what to do.
Chad Carter at the Red Cross, is there a certain psychology that works against people getting out? Either I'm a tough guy, I'm going to defend my home, or I couldn't stand to leave Buffy behind, or whatever the situation may be?
Well, we're certainly not in the business of trying to read minds or to do that. But I think that at the end of the day, and Craig touched on it here just a moment ago, it's about consistent messaging so that people understand, you know, whether you feel prepared, whether you feel anxious about getting prepared, there are resources out there to help you. And the one that he mentioned is a fantastic resource. We also have one. It's our prepare guide. We just released an updated version just a few months ago, and you can find it for free online at redcross.org/prepare guide. It actually lays out step-by-step opportunities of how to build your preparedness kit, what to buy in week one, and all the way through 24 weeks. And so it's a very bite-sized, digestible calendar to help you get prepared for a two-week ready, but also your 72-hour readiness. I think people at the end of the day, and complacency is a good word for it. They've heard it so much now that it might necessarily be white noise, but it is now a part of our lives here in the Northwest. Wildfires, I grew up here in the Northwest. They just weren't the same situation back when I was young versus how they are now. And so people, regardless of how they feel about it, they need to start taking action. They need to start preparing now so that when the moment hits, they're ready, they're prepared, and their families are ready as well.
Emergency preparedness, the topic here in the Jefferson Exchange. Chad Carter's with the American Red Cross, Wayne Stinson with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Craig Whitner with the City of Reading, where he's the fire marshal. You can join us at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about that 72-hour kit. Now, that number is well impressed in my head. So, Chad, what should go into that 72-hour kit?
Well, you want to start with the basics, right? And that can be anything from your clothing to, you know, all those important documents. You want to make sure that you have enough stuff for your whole family. So whether that's food, water, first aid kit, flashlights, batteries, those kinds of things, the important documents, prescription medications, that, like Craig ran down a very nice list just a few moments ago, pet supplies. All those things that you're going to need to have for those first 72 hours. And Wayne hit the nail on the head a short time ago in saying, while we open our shelters, a lot of times people know family and friends within a short drive away where they can go and stay. And so our shelters are an opportunity for those people who have nowhere to go, and we provide those services for as long as they're necessary. But a lot of people are just needing to grab those immediate things. Maybe it's a few snack bars, granola bars to throw in there. But you can get online and you can find exactly what you need. But think about for yourself, what do I need for the next 3 days to be comfortable as I can be under the circumstances, but also to make sure my family is safe and prepared.
Okay, so how do you keep the kit from getting too heavy, though? Is this the kind of thing you need to be able to carry on your back at some point? Or is it okay if it's just in the trunk of the car and you just get the stuff you need as you need it?
Yeah, really, you're looking for, you know, we call it a go bag, so you're looking for probably a duffel bag size thing for maybe each person. And so you've got, you know, I've got small children, so we basically have some food and some water in there, some toys to keep them entertained, clothing that's the appropriate sizing. So if you already have a go bag, you might need to revisit it and change sizing if you have those kids. Same thing for your pets. Make sure you've got a collar, a leash, all those things ready to go for them. You're not looking for big boxes of stuff. You're looking for something you can easily grab at a moment's notice and head out the door. But we always do say that there are three places that you should be prepared. That's at home, at work, and in your car. So having a preparedness kit in each of those three places will go a long way in helping you feel prepared when the moment hits.
Craig Whitner, obviously since Reading's been through, we mentioned the car fires anniversary is in July. I have some questions about the basic logistics of evacuations and whether, for example, Reading is thinking any differently about ways to make it happen. I mean, granted, you want people to leave early. I get that loud and clear. But you know, things, to be able to turn two-way streets into one-way streets leaving town. I mean, are there any provisions for that sort of technology to be able to help the evacuation process along?
Well, you mentioned quite a bit there. You know, Reading's not unique in that we have an existing town. We have in-place permanent infrastructure. So it's not like, you know, certain areas of town are more populated than others. It really comes down to each individual has to be prepared and know their own emergency evacuation route. Local authorities, streets, police, fire, you know, we can change the direction of travel in any street, you know, we deem necessary at the time. But the real factor there, what makes the biggest difference is folks leaving early. It's incredibly costly to build large streets, right? Anybody who's involved in development know that streets are expensive. They use up real estate, and not everybody has the luxury of an unlimited budget to build a lot of roadways. So we have what we have to work with. The main thing is getting folks to evacuate early and use those streets early. So when, you know, the last minute people do evacuate, hopefully the earlier you evacuate, the more clear our streets are. So what we have to work with, you just need to practice. And we always tell folks two ways out. You know, we do public education with our small children, and it really is the same. We talk to our kids about having two ways out, using a door or window, having a meeting place. Larger scale events is the same thing for the rest of us adults. We need to know what to do, have what we need ready to go, have a plan A, a plan B, and where we're going to go, and who we're going to see, and how our family is going to communicate together. So, we're not going to change our communities. I don't see us spending more money to build wider roadways and more roadways. We have some of that stuff built into existing development and codes with regard to maybe how many dwellings trigger a second street. But larger scale, the communities are built the way they are. And as my understanding, I didn't live in Paradise, but when the campfire occurred, they had a pretty firewise community, and they did prepare for evacuations. But when that large event happened, it's my understanding that it overwhelmed their traffic system or their roadway system, and many folks got trapped in the roadways anyway. So I think the key there is plan early, be prepared, and leave early. Don't wait for someone to tell you to go.
Okay, and I'll run down the list again. People, pets, pictures, personal items, plastics, you can pay for things. Chad, is there anything that's a bad idea to bring along when you're evacuating? That's a whole house full of bad ideas.
I'm sorry?
It's a whole house full of bad things to bring, right?
Yeah, you're looking for the immediate basics. You need to get out of the house when a level 3 or even a level 2 at a be ready hits. You're not looking to go collect everything in the house and take it with you. You're looking for the absolute necessities that you need to stay safe and to get out of your home safely and to protect your family. As we talked about earlier, pets, you know, people will not leave without pets, and so that's why it's very important for the Red Cross to make sure that we have opportunities and partners in the communities in which we set up shelters to have a place for those pets to be safely protected during an evacuation. And so we work very hard to make sure that we have those resources available for people, but people also need to understand that, you know, like they say on an airplane, right? You just get off the airplane, you leave your bags behind, you grab your duffel bag in this case, but you leave most of the stuff behind. You just take the necessities.
All right. Chad Carter of the American Red Cross, Wayne Stinson at Douglas County Sheriff's Office, Craig Whitner, Fire Marshal, City of Reading. Thank you all for joining us today. We've learned a lot.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Take care.